Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. To New South Wales, to Sydney, to Jeremy Zachas. It is summertime, El Nino summer. Expecting big heat, lots of dryness, but also the obvious flip of the coin can give you big rain. Right now, we're concentrating on what comes out in the big heat and what is a result of the big rain, which is an abundance of venomous snakes. Jeremy, a very good day to you. I begin with having read a prep about everything you do wrong in preparing for snakes coming out of the woods. They've been prospering with big rains these last 2 years. There's lots of them. They came out early, venomous snakes. And the preparation for it is at once logical, commonsensical, and surprising. I want to ask, first of all, what you've done now in your property to prepare for the snakes coming out. Good day to you, Jeremy.
G'day, John. Yes, basically, I have absolutely cleared every part of my property I can. And when I say cleared, what I've done is I've created in all our gardens, in all our grass areas, I've made sure that every bit of foliage, every little stick, every bit of shrubbery is at the absolute bare minimum. So basically, from my house at any point, I can see it all across my garden and see what's in there. Because the thing is, John, that I guess that the biggest thing the snakes are looking for on any property is shelter, because they want to feel safe. They want to feel like they've got a home, and they look for basically low-lying shrubs, low-lying weeds, and low-lying wood piles where they can slither into and basically feel safe. So, John, I can tell you this past weekend, the past 2 days, I have literally gone out, removed any dead wood that was around. I've cut the grass down very, very low right now, although we're about to get rain again, so it's going to be very high again by about this time next week. And I've also made sure that all the shrubs that we have are cut right back. So you've still got the shrubs there, but you can actually see underneath them, so you haven't got foliage on the ground. So basically, got myself prepared by making sure I can see every part of my property, so if we do get a snake, at least I know where it is.
All right. Now, why does Jeremy do this? This is what I've learned from reading an article about everything you can do wrong. For example, snakes like the sunshine. No, they don't when it's very hot. They don't like the sunshine. They also don't like the cold. They look for shelter from the sun, meaning that anything that has a leaf on it is an umbrella. And wood piles especially. Jeremy, if you wanted to gather all the venomous snakes in a neighborhood, all you have to do is put together a pile of sticks, and I'm sure they'd all be there.
And that's exactly right. In fact, it's in a lot of the clearing process here in Australia before summer, we get massive wood piles in a lot of suburbs, including here in southern Sydney. And what actually happens is snake catchers, when they want to go and educate people, they'll actually take people on tours to wood piles to show them where to find snakes. And lo and behold, they will always find a brown snake or a red-bellied black snake in there. So I think that in itself, that snake catchers can pretty much genuinely go to any woodpile, find a snake almost instantly, tells you that these things are not needed. And honestly, John, around here, everybody knows it. So the only woodpiles that exist are at least a kilometre, 2 kilometres away on some farmland. Everybody removes the wood. That's just the dangerous part.
All right. Now, there are other logical things. Once you read this list, you understand. This is especially for people who live in Queensland, which Jeremy tells me has a bit of a rustic, rural nature to it. First of all, you do not leave your shoes outside. I will repeat, never, ever shoes outside. Not sandals, not shoes, not boots, not the children's shoes. Never, ever. Why is that, Jeremy?
Because snakes love shoes. And as horrible as it sounds and as disgusting as it sounds because it's had your sweaty, smelly feet in there, the shoes themselves provide a lot of shelter for a snake. And you might think snakes, they're fairly large, so how do they fit in shoes? Or snakes can actually flatten themselves, make themselves quite small, so even the biggest snake can actually end up in your sneakers.
Yes, never leave your shoes outside. Now, also, screen doors. We use screen doors for flies and the occasional lost bird. How do you use screens in Queensland?
Basically, that's an anti-snake device in Queensland. And why it works so well is because screen doors, one, they're screen doors. They allow the cool air to go in, which in Queensland you really need. It's such a humid, horrible, tropical environment when it gets really hot up there. So you want the air to come in. But the other thing is they are too small for even the smallest snake to actually penetrate. And because it is so hot in Queensland, the snakes actually look for cooler areas to get into because they hate the direct sun and the heat. And a lot of Queensland homes actually have tiles on the ground. And in the summertime, the tiles inside are a lot cooler than the cement outside. And snakes know this. And that's why they're always attracted inside Queensland homes much more readily than anywhere else in the country. So screen doors are an absolute must. But you must remember to close them. People do leave them open to let pets in and out. That just doesn't work. You have to close the screen doors.
Now, there is the old wives' tale that snakes can hear and fear, so that when you go outside, putting on your boots that you'd left inside, you stomp the ground and the snakes slither away. Is it true, Jeremy?
I've never had that happen once, John. Honestly, every time, and this is something we're told as young kids, and it just doesn't work. I've had so many occasions, especially growing up when I grew up next to a national park in Adelaide, where I've stomped my feet, I've made as much noise as possible when I've found a brown snake, and the thing comes directly at you. I've literally been running on the fire track when I was much more youthful and doing a lot more running in the summertime. And I tried stomping my feet, and every time the snake has doubled back on itself and tried to come at me. And the thing is, John, that by doing what I did, stomping your feet, trying to be noisy, you're actually sounding very threatening all of a sudden to the snake, which is why the adage doesn't work. So honestly, John, I've nearly been bitten by doing this exact thing.
Now we come to why snakes don't fear roadways, why snakes don't fear stomping. The roadways of Australia, I'm reading this because I've never been there, and Queensland, are filled with flattened snakes. They don't fear anything. Vibrations don't scare them. Jeremy did because he stomped on one, so he came at him as a predator. Snakes are both snakes, which isn't a reputation that people aspire to. You know, he's a snake. However, snakes have self-preservation that looks... Well, it's reptilian. They'll understand what's threatening around them. So to review, screen doors, shoes inside, wood piles picked up, grass cut very low, make sure you can see underneath, no leaves building up. We'd have a tough time here in New England, Jeremy. To get all the leaves is ridiculous. It can't be done. You have a little bit easier because I don't think you don't let the eucalyptus forest grow up over you, so you don't have eucalyptus on the ground. I wouldn't go walking in a eucalyptus forest this time of year, that's for sure. Now, all that, and then there's still people who think the little bitty snake won't hurt you. Jeremy, have you ever been near the little bitty eastern brown?
I have. In fact, at my parents' home only a few years ago, a couple of little eastern browns actually managed to get inside the house because they were so small and so thin. They actually came under the front door crevice, so a very small gap where the air was coming in, and managed to get into the front entry hall. Luckily enough, my parents were able to shoo them away. They had a Jack Russell at the time, which basically let the snakes know who were boss. But the thing is, John, I have seen these things up close and personal, and they are as scary as they sound. I mean, imagine a brown snake, large, about a meter and a half long, but shrink that right down to about the size of a normal pencil, and imagine it being wider than a straw, and being very, very flexible, but very, very aggressive. That's the baby brown snake, and we're always told baby brown snakes are a lot worse than the adults because they are aggressive, their fangs have developed enough to actually deliver the venom 9 times out of 10, and they will basically turn up in places you think snakes would never in a million years be able to get into. So, John, I have an absolute respect for the baby browns, but honestly, I hope I never see them again.
Now, I'm reading this article from one of your news services that says a baby brown, pencil-size eastern brown, has enough venom to kill 20 men. Does that sound exaggerated or accurate to you, Jeremy?
No, that's very, very accurate. We were told growing up it's at least 10. Then, as scientists over the years have done a lot more studies, they found it's probably at least 20. It varies between snake to snake because genetics say some snakes have more than others, but they genuinely carry most of the venom that they'll carry through to their teenage years before producing more as a baby. So when they come out, when they're babies, basically when they're born, they're already loaded up. They're ready to go.
All these reasons, of course, to remind us that everything in Australia is exotic and will try to kill you. Now, there are slightly different approaches to the carpet pythons or the red-bellied black snakes, but we're dealing with preparing your property for summertime, and it's going to be a hot summer, and the snakes are already out early. So one more thing. There was a snake catcher, a big article about a snake catcher. He didn't look good, Jeremy. He was in an emergency ward, and they had him wired up for, I guess, a cardiogram or watching his heart. He had been bitten, a snake catcher had been bitten, and he didn't know it.
That's right. That's right. And this actually happened down in Mildura. It's a fairly large country town on the New South Wales-Victorian border. So it's just on the southeastern part of Australia. And this poor snake catcher, he'd been going about his normal duties. That particular day, he'd caught many snakes and was dealing with a couple of great eastern brown snakes on a property. And that was a property that had a lot of foliage. He had a bit of a tough time trying to find them, but he had actually recovered the snakes and thought everything was good. The only problem was that even with all his protective gear, because snake catchers genuinely have all the guards over their arms and hands and legs, even with all the protective gear, it turns out that at least one of the snakes had bitten him, and it looks like it had bitten him somewhere on the forearm. So he goes home. He's you know, feeling a little bit off, but it's a hot day, so he felt tired, exhausted, which is fairly natural. But then he actually felt like something was completely wrong, and being a snake catcher too, and knowing what he deals with, he did the right thing. He went immediately to the Mildura District Hospital, got in there, and they pretty quickly identified that it looked like he had a couple of fang marks on his actual body, on his arm at least, and immediately started administering the anti-venom, put him into critical care. And lo and behold, it turns out he had actually been bitten by what appears to be a brown snake. So he was incredibly lucky because it could have been some hours earlier. The news articles imply that he had actually been bitten before. So he probably did have at least some degree of anti-venene in his body, because if you do get bitten by a snake, you do have a bit of preventative venene in your blood. But he was very lucky. He quite easily could have died if he hadn't waited another half an hour. So this was a story again showing that even the most professional snake catchers do succumb to these snake bites and do get bitten quite regularly. But he did the right thing. So if in doubt, always get to a hospital.
Yes, you see a snake, you hear a snake, you think a snake's out there in the middle of the night, call the snake catcher. $50, they'll show up. You have an app, get them right there. This is the Reptile Report. I feature it because there are so many tales of how to deal with reptiles. What I learned from Jeremy is you better be somebody who's accustomed to dealing with them, as Jeremy is, and then you need to have respect. It sounds to me sometimes like defensive driving. You're always anticipating what the other guy could do that would cause problems. That's what defensive snakehood, I guess. Get out there and look at your lawn and go, aha, here's what I have to do to cut down where the snakes will be. So Jeremy Zachas, he's in New South Wales. We've given a lot of tips. Summer's coming on. It's going to be very hot. We'll get to the weather soon enough. But next, Jeremy and I have not spoken since the World Championship Cup that was supposed to be in the hands of the Indian team. Jeremy, all right, when we come back. This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Life's messy. We're talking spills, stains, pets, and kids. But with Anabay, you never have to stress about messes again. At washablesofas.com, discover Anabe sofas, the only fully machine washable sofas inside and out, starting at just $699. Made with liquid and stain-resistant fabrics, that means fewer stains and more peace of mind. Designed for real life, our sofas feature changeable fabric covers, allowing you to refresh your style anytime. Need flexibility? Our modular design lets you rearrange your sofa effortlessly. Perfect for cozy apartments or spacious homes. Plus, they're earth-friendly and built to last. That's why over 200,000 happy customers have made the switch. Upgrade your space today. Visit washablesofas.com now and bring home a sofa made for life. That's washablesofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.